heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Why is it that Washington, D.C. attracts some of the biggest dickheads on the planet? You ever ask yourself that question? I do all the time. You know, I was just saying the other day with the whole Biden thing, it seems like mostly politics is attracted to perverts and thieves that get in there. It's like it's the lowest possible denominator of the human species. This is not meant in a vulgar way at all. But let's look up the definition of a dickhead. It's a stupid, irritating, or ridiculous person, mostly a man now, mostly. But I know women that also can be dickheads. I don't think it's privy just to one gender. I think it can be both. But mostly it's men, they're saying. But they're stupid, they're irritating, or ridiculous person. Now, that's what the qualifying of a dickhead is. But then if you go to your source, or one of my favorite sources for information, the Urban Dictionary, you get even a more interesting sense about what a dickhead is. And they qualify it even more interesting. They say it's a person who is an idiot who shows it all too well. And they have a couple of examples here. Someone who treats people unfairly for little or no reason, just, well, to be a dickhead, you know? I mean, that's what they do. They say here, a group of people who profiteer during a pandemic and buy up all the supplies of hand sanitizer and food and then proceed to sell it at extortionate type prices on various online sales outlets. And there's been a lot of that actually out there. That's the same cats who bought up all the toilet paper, you know. A bunch of ass wipers too, probably you'd qualify that, right? So a petition has been set up to name and shame these dickheads. They actually have a petition. This was all on the Urban Dictionary. You'd be surprised what you can find and how intelligent they speak here. And it goes on to say most dickheads think that they are clever when they are far from it. And that I understand. They think they're very clever, intelligent. They're not really that clever. We're going to be using the word dickhead quite a bit on the program here today. If that word is offensive to you, you probably want to turn the dial off, okay? But if you are engaged as much as I am as to what these dickheads are after and what they really want to, in other words, what the end goal is. Because let's face it, people, dickheads are messing with us. They're all over the place. And they constantly interfere in our lives. They offset the balance of it all. And it's a problem. So listen, I put out a question on social media the other day, like, okay, so serious question is the way I put it in the message. So who is the biggest dickhead in Washington, D.C.? Now that is a question. And for that, you have to reach deep, deep into the bowels of humanity and find out who the biggest one is. Because people, there are parades and parades of dickheads in Washington who have run for a political office, and these people make a career out of it. Because basically, you see, here's the way I look at politics as a whole. If you're not really that super, like, intelligent, like, really super smart. Now, let's not lose the fact that I'm not saying these people are totally stupid. I know the Urban Dictionary says they are. But these people do have intelligence, and they try to outsmart other people is what they're doing. So they're not totally stupid or dumb. I don't really buy that. I mean, stupid is an odd, I mean, you can use the word stupid in multiple ways, but I'm not saying they have no IQ, because I think they do. I think they darn well know what they're doing. But, you know, if you don't have, if you're looking for, I think maybe the way to say it, maybe the easy way through life, or you're just looking to control other people is a good way to put it, you know, boss other people around, or to be like the biggest dickhead. You know, politics is a hell of a career at that point, you see. You can easily run for political office, especially if you don't have talent to be in the boardroom, or you don't have talent to be a successful business person. Well, then a career as a dickhead would be very, very proper for you. And I think essentially that is why Washington, D.C. Attracts so many dickheads. I mean, they're all different types. They come in all kinds of colors. They're not racist. You don't have to be racist to be a dickhead. They're all kinds of colors, all their sizes, different size levels, all different types of people. Then they push their dickhead policies on the rest of us, and we have to deal with these dickheads year after year after year. And of course, because we don't have term limits. We have term limits for the presidency, but we don't have them for the rest of the clowns, which makes no practical sense at all. I mean, it's easier to control one person than it is all these other clowns. We ought to reverse that, and if we want to keep a president longer, we can. In fact, I think for conservatives, we ought to put that out there right now and try to keep President Trump around for 3, 4, 5 terms till he's about 130, you know, just play along as they come out of there, as I tell you all the time, in an oxygen tank and a wheelchair, you know, I remember Robert Byrd when they pushed him out of there. It's always something that's been etched in my brain. I mean, why is it these people stay there so long? Well, for a couple of reasons. It's not basically the salary we pay them. It's because, you know, they make a lot of money with the improper things they do, paying people off, buying people off, lobbyists, you know, quid pro quo. I do this for you. You do this for me. Got it. And that's how they become. I mean, you know, all these political leaders, and a lot of them are in California. California is the capital of dickheads. I mean, they are just loving it out there. And there's a whole bunch of them out there in political offices. They absolutely love it. It's like a magnet. It's like they just can't do anything else in life. So they become a dickhead. And they joined the political ranks, you know. Now, over all the years here, is the way my fable goes here, President Donald J. Trump, you know, the businessman, the citizen, had seen all this. And he had been talking about dickheads for, good God, a long time, people. Probably, I don't know. I mean, probably 40 years he'd been talking about dickheads. And he'd been dealing with them. And he had a lot of these dickheads up in his office. And, you know, he gave, and you know, the thing about it is, the system has to run with dickheads because that's the whole political elite, you see. And so what Trump was doing is sitting down with a lot of the, and he was dealing with dickheads on the left and the right. So that's like a double whammy, you know, that's just a lot of dickheads at that point. And he's dealing with all of them. And he's, you know, giving the money for campaigns and, you know, for the election and all of this, because, you know, that's what you do when you're a businessman. You play it down the center aisle and you just sort of, you know, it's about shareholders or about making a buck. That's what the definition of capitalism is, money, right? Just don't sell your soul in the process, probably be a better way to look at it. But I think over all those years, when you're seeing Trump in all those citizen conversations he was having on the media, as a successful businessman, because he could be successful, whereas a lot of them couldn't be, and he would always comment on these problems we were having as a country, our trade deals and our crazy immigration laws and all the stupid things that all our political dickheads have been doing in Washington forever, you know, like forever. And of course, we the people continue to elect the dickheads to office. And we not only let them do it to us one time, but we keep doing it. You take like Nancy Pelosi, who has convinced all the people in San Francisco that she's like a superstar, amazing woman, politician, prime, could be number one dickhead of the universe, in fact. And she just, they keep electing her. She's convinced the people there. I mean, you've got a mess in San, I mean, you've got, you know, crap all over the street. I don't want to use bad language here and say the four-letter word with an S. So, you know, you've got crap all over the streets, you know. You've got needles thrown everywhere. And basically, you know, she's being elected for the popularity of being a dickhead, I think is what is happening. And like I said, you give her one term and you keep bringing her back for more. We'll give you another term and we'll give you another term and we'll just keep it going. 20, 30, 40 years later, again, you got to give them an oxygen tank because they're, you know, they can't breathe anymore. And then we, the people, sit all back here and say, I can't stand this anymore. What the hell is going on in Washington? They're ruining our lives. And, you know, it's a matter with this. Of course, we don't really call them what they are. And everybody wants to be politically correct. So nobody really wants to call. I mean, you don't see like Fox News or MSNBC or CNN. I mean, it would be good if they just said the headlines the way they really are. Like, did you see what that dickhead did today? I mean, that would be proper, probably, because that would be calling them what they are. you see, and that would be the way to go. But that's not really happening, people. You see, you have to read through the whole article or listen to the whole program, and then you come to the conclusion yourself, well, okay, so that politician is a dickhead. But it takes you all that, they waste all your time and energy. Whereas here, I started the program off immediately telling you that they're dickheads, and this is what we're going to talk about today. So why is America attracted to so many dickheads? I think would be even the bigger question. And who, and the one I throw out there, like, who is the biggest dickhead in Washington, D.C.? Now, for that, you really got to think things through. I mean, you really got to be thinking, you know, like, okay, like, how can one top the next biggest dickhead? I mean, like, there are a lot of dickheads in Washington. And how does one become more profound of a dickhead than the other dickheads is really the question. And that's a tough one, people. I don't have an easy answer for that. But they seem to outdo each other on a regular basis. It's amazing the talent they have, these people. Truly, truly talent. The problem is that we, the people, are at home and really not paying attention because they give the power to all the dickheads, you see? And then the dickheads do all these things to play with us in a bad way. And then, like the definition that Urban says, that, well, then they're, you know, they're irritating. They're ridiculous. Mostly men. There are women in the group. I mean, Maxine Waters would be at the tip top of that top 10 list for sure. And there's a whole host of others. So it doesn't really succumb to gender, although the dictionary says they're mostly men. That's because mostly men are in politics. A lot of them are. And of course, a lot of them are attorneys. And of course, if you're an attorney and you're a politician, you're a double dickhead, you see? I mean, that makes you just a spectacular double dickhead. That's like a double fudge brownie ice cream thing at the Dairy Queen you might get. That puts you right at the top of the list there. So this whole dickhead thing, I got a lot of comments in anyways on that post that we put out on Twitter, and people just were had a lot to say about it. I got a whole bunch, and you'll never guess who the top dickhead is. I mean, there's a lot of interesting people in here, a lot of politicians that qualified, and people were feeling it. And I'm going to share some of those names with you today on the program for sure. But one of the ones that was like at the tip-top heap-hop, I mean, kept being mentioned again and again and again and again. I mean, like a lot. And surpassed all genders and seemed to be the... Now, this is unofficial. This is just from what I see in my opinion on all the numbers here. But it looks like Adam Schiff would be probably... at least most people believe in this unofficial poll that I did that he would be the top chief double-dipped dickhead. He would be the one. He'd get the prize for that deal, you know. Now, I went and I looked up Adam Schiff to see what else I can find about him. And I love this on YouGov. If you've ever been to YouGov, they do a lot of studies and polls around the planet and stuff, you know. These people all said this and these people said that. And so they did a kind of a survey about Adam Schiff as well. 7,500 plus over that interviews were the rankings, and they collected them between February 2019 and February 2020. So this is very, very official, by the way. I'm not just throwing this at you. This is important stuff. And so get a load of this. Adam Schiff is the 26th most popular Democrat. 26th most popular, and he's the 35th most famous. Okay? Now, he's described by fans as intelligent, convincing, serious, likable, and underrated. And that was that official surveys and all those interviews that went on over a year. Now, Schiff is a lawyer, and of course, he is a dickhead politician, as we've stated here. And he serves, he's been U.S. representatives in the House there for the 28th Congressional District in California, we pronounce that California, right? Since 2013 now, okay? He's a member of the Socialist Democrat Party of America. And so he's a 10th term congressman, basically. And since 01, he's been in there and actually haven't served since 01, but in that district since 2013. It's just to keep it all straight and clear, okay? A lot of information about Schiff and why he is become the top chief dickhead on the planet. Again, this is unofficial. because there are some other names that come in there. Pelosi is in there a lot. Even Fauci's in there quite a bit. And there's a whole host of other people, Nadler, and a lot of your favorites come up there quite a bit that would be very popular in the top list of dickheads. And of course, there are dickheads on the right side. They're not privy to one side of the politics, people. A lot of dickheads on the right, actually. They're just as good as the left, really, as far as throwing the BS around. Again, I don't want to say any bad words here, so let me just use acronyms when we talk that way, you know. And but there's a lot more about this that gets on as to why Schiff is such a big dickhead, and he's qualified. A lot of people just call him a liar. In fact, there's a lot of memes out there where he has the long Pinocchio nose, you know. You've seen those, I'm sure. In fact, he's got the most memes out there with the most Pinocchio noses of anybody ever that's done that. And he's a congenital liar, they say. The man can't help himself. Listen, I'm always about bringing you good information and good value here on the program, on the Voice of a Nation. So you buckle up your seatbelt there, and we'll be right back in just a moment here and continue on the fable story of dickheads in America. Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Well, listen, I'm going to bring on in just a moment here. Ava Armstrong will join us and Brian Gould, and I'll tell you more about them in just a moment here. But before I do that here, let me also fill you in here. You know, when you look at Schiff as to why he is like the heap of the pile here, as many believe that he is, looking at some of the information here, real clear politics, they say this: you can take your pick for the most famous liar in history. Okay, people who are willing to say anything for the sake of gaining and keeping power. Yep. That in itself, people, would be the description of a dickhead, clearly. But surely Representative Adam Schiff has earned a place on that list. Now, they're trying to be politically correct by saying liar, but really what they mean is dickhead. They just don't put it out there as I've done in the headlines and in the story here. You know, I don't know why. Because they say, you know, I won't call Schiff a congenital liar. As Fox News personality Sean Hannity does nightly. Sean Hannity and Adam Schiff have a special relationship, you see. But only because the term excuses Schiff of personal responsibility for his behavior. I don't think it was his genes that made Schiff into a consummate liar, but rather his narcissistic personality. All right, so Ava Armstrong is here. Ava, I'm going to put you on the spot here and ask you, you hear the comments about real clear politics and liar, and but why do you think people have, I mean, he really is the politician that people love to hate, poor Adam Schiff, you know, and that do you think he would be, well, first of all, do you think he would be the number one dickhead in Washington, or do you have another favorite?
I have a number one dickhead. And I would actually add to that as a descriptive, number one, fascist, okay?
Okay.
And she is Nancy Pelosi, who is the Speaker of the House. Mm-hmm. And she has deemed that all the other members in the House are non-essential at the time of this pandemic. And so they've all been home sitting in their basements and using Skype to plan and plot against America. And this is the biggest power grab we've ever seen in my lifetime. I've never seen a Speaker of the House actually step up and become a fascist like she's doing.
Yeah, they're spending all their time now, as you say, planning and plotting. You're exactly right. I've seen a lot of tweets put out there looking at Schiff's account and looking at others. And right now, there's a full stream of obviously negative political crap coming down about the pandemic, about COVID-19, Ava. They're pointing, you know, they're just, it's a constant, like, why didn't Trump do this? Why didn't Trump do that? But again, should we really be surprised at this point when there is nothing left they can do. What else are they going to get him? The fact that he had chicken pox as a kid? I mean, what are they going to get him on?
No, the next thing they'll do, they'll try to take his birthday away, okay? Because there's really nothing left to do to the man. And it's just despicable. These people are not Democrats. What we have to understand is this is a new kind of Democrat. I don't call it a Democrat anymore because Democrats were classic liberals.
Socialist Democrat Party of America is what they are. So you got to call it what it is. They're socialist. Did you just say take his birthday away? Now, I got to ask you, so I've not heard that expression put that quite that way. Is that what you mean by, in other words, take him out?
Well, I've always used that as a joking term, but I wouldn't think of it in that manner. But when you're stripped of everything, I mean, you have nothing left to have taken away from you, you know?
Well, when you said, I mean, it dawned to my mind because people have thought his life from time to time might be at risk. Let me bring Brian into the conversation. Brian, that's a tough question. I want to ask you right there out of the spot. First of all, serious question. Do you think President Trump at any point ahead here, with everything that's happened and been thrown at him, do you think his life is at risk at some point?
Yes, I do. I do believe it's at risk. I think this is a concern as we get closer to the election. I'm sure the Secret Service is probably sweating bullets right about now because it's a lose-lose for him. If he wins, he's going to be seriously under threat. And if he loses, a lot of his security will be taken away and people want to get even because this Democratic Party, and again, with Ava, it's not really the Democrats anymore. It's its own special little brand of crazy. They're beyond vindictive. And I think this is going to be a huge problem, especially with the Bernie Sanders crew. They seem to be pretty prone to violence, everything I've seen from them.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of people out there that don't have the screws quite tight, let's face it, and they go off. And there's a history of this, Brian. If you look back, though, and I got to tell you, historically, if you look at our presidents and where there have been attempts on their lives, a lot of them happen in the beginning of the second term. You'll see that's what happened with Lincoln. That could very well, I mean, that's the kind of concern is they get elected again, and then these crazies get crazier than normal crazy, Brian. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, they feel like they have no other recourse at that point. They've tried everything else. They've tried the political system, the legal system, and they've lost. So people with that last little screw loose kind of pop that out and go, I have no other options. I'm taking one for the team. Yeah. And that's how they approach it. And it's pretty common. And it's usually some progressive or super liberal crazy person doing it. It's just the way it works.
Yeah, and I don't like having this conversation any more people than you like hearing it. And I know it doesn't sound nice, so I'm being very careful with the words because you don't want to be putting that out there into the atmosphere, right? I think both Ava and Brian would agree with me on that, right?
But 100%.
But it is a serious conversation, and there is no joke about it. This has been on my mind for some time that I pray that doesn't happen. But society is a bit becoming unraveled, it seems. We're taking our division and our differences to the nth degree now. And it's because, as you just said, Brian, they've thrown absolutely everything they could possibly throw. If you can't take them down by this and this and this and this and this, what else is there left? And so now they're using the COVID pandemic to try to attack the president. So let me ask you, let's start there. And Brian, I want to ask you the same question I started with Ava. So who do you think is the biggest dickhead in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I understand Ava's position on Speaker Pelosi. Unfortunately, Speaker Pelosi at least has some pizzazz or class when she speaks. I don't agree with anything that comes out of the lady's mouth, but I'll have to give her at least some credit for having some consistency over the last 35 years. I'm on board with you. Adam Schiff, number one guy. Can't stand him. His sheer arrogance when he talks makes you dislike him. He could be saying, Brian Gould, you just won the lottery, and I'd be like going, I really hate you. So I just can't stand it. Nothing that comes out of that man's mouth is truthful. Nothing is honest, nothing sincere, and he changes his stance on a dime without any kind of remorse whatsoever. And that's the worst kind of politician out there. There is no worse than that. So Adam Schiff is at the top of my list.
He is 27% positive opinion people have of him. Negative opinion, 23%. And neutral 16, and the rest have never heard of him, they say, in this poll. Oh, yeah, he has very high never heard of numbers compared to many of the others. I studied this poll and looked at it. And by the way, the most famous Democrats in America. I happen to be looking at that list just before showtime here, and I wanted to share with you, by no surprise, you guys, Barack Obama is number one, tied with Hillary Clinton, number two. They are 98% each, Barack and Hillary, 98% of the most famous Democrats in America. And you know what Bill Clinton is? He's a percentage under Hillary. He's number three on the list at 97%. And then it goes to Bernie Sanders at 95, who is obviously Mr. Communist there. Joe Biden is 95%. Jimmy Carter is 93%. Nancy Pelosi, 92%. Al Gore, 92%. He's well. Elizabeth Warren, 88%. And John Kerry rounds out the number 10, 85%. And again, number 35 is Adam Schiff. And so you have to go pretty far down the road. And there are others right after this. Kamala Harris, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Chucky Schumer is next. You know, Cory Booker. You get the picture. Andrew Cuomo. Beto O'Rourke is already 18 on the list, if you can believe. And again, they have no shortage of perverts in here. Number 20 is Anthony Weiner, the guy who shows his wiener all over social media. You know, real classy fellow that one is, you know. And so this is kind of, that list is very interesting with you, Gub. All right, so let me tell you both, Ava, Brian, that when I put that question out there, here are some of the names I got back, and let's talk about some of these so that listeners have a sense of who we're talking about. Okay, so Adam Schiff is by far and large he's the most hated political figure, it seems to be, with all of the people who answered this, and they put a lot of memes up there with him too. But close to him is what you said, Ava, Pelosi. She is really, people think she's despicable and hated. So Pelosi's up there as well. Not nearly as much as Schiff, however. And that's because of what you said, Brian. He's become more, in the recent, few years, he's become really one of the chief troublemakers of the Democrat Party, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and then you had Chucky Schumer was mentioned a lot. Maxine Waters, Sheila Jackson Lee. So somebody put all those names, yeah, Adam Schiff, Chucky Schumer, Maxine Waters, Sheila Jackson Lee. What do you think about that group, Ava?
Well, I'd like to add Mazie Hirono and Eric Swalwell. And I have a reason for both of those. One of the things I've noticed, and maybe Brian hasn't noticed yet, but I have. The real, real radical haters are usually female. And if you just think for a second about Nancy Pelosi and some of the hateful rhetoric she's used against President Trump, and you think about people like the Squad, okay, they're females, and they're young, and they're, you know, all hip and cool and everything else, and they're hating on everybody. And then you have this Mazie Hirono, who's from Hawaii. And this woman, every time she opens her mouth, it's horrible. I mean, it's outrageous horrible. And I can't believe that anybody tolerates Maxine Waters and all the rotten things that she said in public. And she's actually fomented violence against the president.
Oh, more than once.
Oh, many times, many times. And I'm asking myself, why are the Republicans and the conservatives so kind? Why are we so polite?
Well, Ryan, what do you think about the women point that Ava brings up? Now, she's saying, I think, that the women are far worse than the men, even, she's saying, as far as being the biggest dickheads we're talking about. What do you think?
Well, I'll give you two words on that, Malcolm. Social conditioning. The Democrats have spent a lot of time making sure that if you say anything bad about someone who's a minority, you're a racist. If you say anything bad about a woman, then you're a sexist. So you're just trying to hold them back because they're a woman, not because of their viewpoint or their politics. Just because they're a woman, so they can call you a sexist really quick. And on the conservative side, when you start throwing the names like sexist and racist around, conservatives still take those words very serious. Whereas they've just become pundit words for the left to use whenever they feel like it. Conservatives still take those very serious, so we try to avoid them. And that's why it's very hard for a lot of the conservative candidates to go after a whole hog, because they get very quickly, the social media labels them as a sexist. Like the conversation we just had about President Trump, we could never have had that conversation of the previous president. The FBI would be busting our three doors down before this conversation was over with. So it's because that labeling has been very successful, and they use it to their advantage every single time.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, they've been very successful at it. And it really, I think, should upset everybody the way they've taken the word racist, Brian. And they've used it, they've really belittled the word, and they've made it have no meaning at all when people use it, because they use it so much. Everything's racist today. And in fact, I had a conversation with someone just yesterday about this. And what happens is most of these socialist Democrat operatives, they don't like to really talk about policy. So what they do is they replace policy with four-letter bomb words and things like that, and they get really ugly. And then when you hit them back with policy, they're the first ones who will discredit you or leave the room and walk away and not want to talk about anything anymore with you, because they can't hold their ground with policy. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. Nancy Pelosi saying the Biden issue is closed, we're not discussing it anymore. It's a policy. It's a position. She'll have to take a stand. Wouldn't want that to happen.
Mean she literally said that about, you're talking about the sexual allegations for Joe Biden?
She says, I will not answer any questions about that. It's over. It's a closed issue. How is it a closed issue?
Well, that just blows my mind. And Ava, I mean, the audacity to anybody with what I didn't, I mean, the fact that Brian says, okay, she's saying that, and you probably heard her say it as well, Ava, I guess.
But at the very beginning of this talk, I told you, it's a power grab by Nancy Pelosi. She's a fascist. You have to understand this mindset.
But how can she say that when they never closed the argument with Brett Kavanaugh, ever? It's still open to this day.
They make their own rules. What you have to understand is we are at war, okay? It's a cultural war. It could turn into a civil war at some point, but we are at war, and there are no rules of engagement on this war. That's what you have to first understand. I think I almost have to educate conservatives about this, on how to fight, because this is going to be fighting for your life, okay? For what you know as America, you're going to be fighting for freedom. We're fighting all over again. We're fighting King George, you might as well say. And while I'm on the subject here of of Democrats fighting, hitting below the belt, and calling people sexist or racist or anything else, I'm on a podcast right now with two straight white men, and you are the only unprotected class in this country. And that's why I'm an advocate for straight white men. I've announced it on Twitter.
Well, you've always been that way. Actually, I remember you doing that a few years ago, and because you've always been an advocate for that group, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of changed. And in fact, Brian, to Ava's point, IQ Al Razuli had an unbelievable article on the platform. And it gets to, it talks about the white race, the way you're kind of talking right there, Ava. You know, you remember what I'm talking about here. And he says that, you know, we're being whittled down right now. The article is called Demographic Triumph of Islam Over Christianity. It's absolutely an amazing read. If you haven't read that piece, go to America Out Loud and read that piece, people, because he's an amazing writer, isn't he, Ava, what he comes up with? IQ?
He is, and he has a unique point of view, because he's looking at America he's in another country, and he's observing, and he's very observant. He's very good at explaining.
Back to that feed here of what people were saying, Brian, with the Twitter feed and all, and the comments about who the biggest dickhead in Washington, D.C. is. Let me read just some more of these, because these get really interesting. I'd like to have you both comment on these. But another person said, Mad Maxine Waters. And then what a mouth. And they have a lot of, you know, videos of her. Well, she's got a mouth, huh, Ava? Pretty bad mouth.
Oh, despicable. She's despicable, in my opinion.
Who was the other one that got up there and said Trump was going to, they keep playing the clip over and over. It was one of the Muslims did it. Ilhan, was it, that said MF?
And yes.
Yeah. I mean,
I believe it was.
That's got more plays than anything, right, Brian? That one there did. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think also that the young lady from Michigan, I always forget her name. She's one of the quieter in the public scene of the squad, but she's the one who dropped the F-bomb on Trump a couple times in public. That's gotten a lot of stir as well. They're all like Maxine Waters. They're just trashy. That's why they're so unfavorable.
Well, because they can't fight policy, Brian. So they argue, they get in the gutter and they start talking like this here. So maybe we should call them what they are. And that's the point of this. Another person here on Twitter says Adam Schiff is a Democrat psycho criminal. Is he a psycho?
Yes. I think if you looked at him, yeah. If you took like a psychiatric exam with this guy, it would be frightening.
I think you and I have talked before about the fact that these people should be required to take an IQ test, shouldn't they, Eva?
Yeah, or go through some kind of a screening.
Well, I think a basic IQ test would be amazing, Brian. I think we should give them a rabies shot and all of it. What do you think?
See, I have to agree with you what you said when you opened up. These people are not stupid. Try to say Adam Schiff's probably an intelligent person. The problem is he's amoral. He's not moral or immoral. He's amoral. He has his own code and will turn on anybody or anything to serve his own needs. And that is one of the most dangerous people to be up against. That's worse than politics or religion to fight against, because they will literally commit the worst atrocities known to man. They are absolutely the worst.
Well, because they have no value. They have, as you say, no morals. They have no nothing. They just, right? I mean... Right, correct. They're just evil, pure and pure. I mean, what are they really after at this point? You don't look at Adam Schiff and you don't say to yourself, oh, my God, that guy's a patriot. He's a Christian, God-loving American patriot. Do you, Brian?
It's why I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for Bernie Sanders, because he always had beat the same drum for 30 years. He had the same beliefs and they finally caught on. People like Adam Schiff, they turn on a dime. And they will turn on anybody or anything to get what they want.
What do you think somebody like Adam Schiff is into the game for? So we talk about power, we talk about prestige, we talk about greed, we talk about a lot of things. Based on what you just said, Brian, what is Adam Schiff into the game of politics for? Is it just to control? Is this a game? Is it just for him to control other people? Why is he there?
I think the answer to your question is yes. It's power. It's greed. It's recognition. He craves all those things all the time. You know, most of the really good, you know, politicians, if you call them that, like Nancy Pelosi or Mitch McConnell, they have a focus. They want to be the speaker. They want to be this. They want to be that. Adam Schiff's all over the board. And again, another thing that makes him tremendously dangerous, because you don't know what he'll attack. And so that makes him very, very dangerous.
So he is, the way you're describing him, he's a deranged lunatic. I mean,
he's the opposite of the spectrum of a Maxine Waters. He's basically just trash. She has no focus. She has no end result. She's just a mouth with a microphone and a seat in Congress. And she's ran in three different districts because when they finally figure out, they won't vote for her anymore. But she has enough people with money to back her. So she's trash with a microphone. And she speaks that way. She talks that way. But she's the exact opposite of an Adam Schiff, who is very cunning, very intelligent, and very, very dangerous.
Wow. Why do you think California attracts some of the most strangest people in politics, Brian? I know you spend time out there.
You know, I actually, you laugh, but I sat at the Reagan Library last year and looked across that countryside, and it's a beautiful place, but it's rugged. And it's hard to believe that such rugged terrain would turn people the way they become. And I don't know. Maybe it's the water. Maybe it's the constant sunshine. I couldn't tell you, but they're crazy. I mean, straight up crazy.
Yeah, it appears to be. The list even gets more interesting, people, as you continue to look at this and say, okay, like, all right, who are the biggest, you know, dickheads in Washington, D.C.? Well, listen, when we get back in just a moment here, I'm going to give you the name of one of the biggest dickheads on the right.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
Ava Armstrong, Brian Gold are here. And let me tell you first, Ava Armstrong, she's a political commentator, analyst, a radio personality. Ava is an author. She has outstanding books on Amazon. Just look up Ava Armstrong or go to the America Out Loud bookstore as well. We've got great books in there. We've got a lot of new ones this week. In fact, that went in there from our guests and our experts alike on the platform here. The link to that is on the nav bar right at AmericaOutLoud.com, by the way. Be prepared to stay a while when you go there because there's a lot happening on the platform at America Out Loud, and you'll stay busy there for a while. It's an interesting place. But anyways, that's where Ava is, and her books are on there as well. Be sure to frequent those. And Brian Gold joins us. If you hadn't heard Brian, he's been on many times. It's been a while since we've connected up with Brian. He served in the U.S. Army and U.S. Special Forces for over three decades. He now works for the Department of Defense. And one of the reasons I brought Brian on the program today is because he's a patriot, but he's also is very not politically correct. So he is another, right, Ava? I mean, he's a canoe rocker as well, right? You would say that about
yes,
Brian?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's why we said we're going to have Brian on the show today, because if we're going to be doing a conversation like here out in the middle of Main Street about dickheads, you need somebody who's not too sensitive, you understand? Because sensitive people don't do well with this. I mean, they don't want to hear this. They want to sugarcoat everything and hold hands and, you know, pretend everything is nice. All right, so let me ask you, Ava, you first. Who do you think on the right is one of the biggest dickheads in the Republican Party?
Mitt Romney.
That's a good choice. That's not who they told me in the surveys here, but yeah, that's a good choice. What do you think, Brian? You agree or have someone different?
I'm on the Mitt Romney side right now. I don't like the Susan Collins attitude either, but I have to say Mitt Romney has steered farther away from the back and forth momentum he had back in when he ran for president, which I'm sad to say I actually supported him very much then. So he's been a great disappointment to me.
What has Susan Collins done in the last many days that's ripped you up? I haven't heard.
Her whole attitude with Brett Kavanaugh, I thought I gave her a lot more credit for intelligence than to fall for that.
Yeah, but she supported him, didn't she? Support him? She supported him at the end.
Eventually, she played her little drama game at the end and tried to boost her ratings up, and it's now coming back to haunt her a little bit. But I think she lost some of her support, and no one's buying her bag of crap that she sells a lot. I'm really very disappointed in her attitude on several of those things.
Well, you don't like her, then you also don't like Lisa Murkowski either, then.
No, sir, I do not.
So you don't. What you're saying is you don't like milquetoast.
No, I stay. Take a line. Stay in it. You know, if you change lanes, say, "Hey, I changed lanes. So I found out something, and I'm smarter now, and I want to go over here." Don't play this back and forth and try to boost your ratings and play politics with important issues like Supreme Court justices, like Medicare. You know, the Obamacare vote that they all dragged their feet on, and all these confirmations they're hemming and hawing about. I don't like people who ride the middle of the road for no reason and just out of convenience to go left or right when it suits them, not because they're representing their constituents.
So you're talking about conviction, having conviction. And, you know,
exactly.
I agree with you. Ava, what do you think about that, what Brian says here?
Well, I would ask Brian what he thinks of Joe Manchin, because he's often in the middle as well.
Yeah, Joe Manchin, I'll have to say, though, does represent his constituents. I think he has a state that often rides down the middle, but he has not changed his issues. If he supported something once, he'll support it again. If he comes out and says, "Hey, here's my position," it doesn't get changed by the milquetoast crowd. He'll buck his own party, which is a big thing for the Democrats to buck their own party. Mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting dynamic with him. I think his days are numbered because he's now, I kind of pissed everybody off. I think his days are numbered and he'll get booted out by a Republican. Or by a stronger person, I should say. And we'll see what happens. But yeah, I don't like – the middle of the road fits him because, like Bernie Sanders, those are the same views he's had since day one. So I think that's where he'll be.
And, you know, this middle of the road business, I mean, Ava, you just go to the interstate or any particular busy road. If you drive down the middle of the road, you're probably going to be killed.
Yes, and And there's something really awful, I don't know, about moderates, you know, but they are a shrinking, diminishing group of people. There won't be any moderates left in the next few years.
Well, these people really don't have opinions. It's like they blow with the way the wind blows. I mean, Mitt Romney is a perfect case of that. I mean, although he's the worst kind of that, obviously, that you just brought up. But let me tell you back who on the right was mentioned multiple times in this question I put out about who the biggest dickhead in Washington, D.C. is. Ava, give me a drum roll, please. It's going to be Lindsey Graham.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Somebody says here, let me read this to you. Don't go too far left when the right has some gargantuan dickheads themselves. Not to name names, but what about Lindsey Graham, South Carolina? What do you think?
I don't know. I have a mixed reaction to him. There are some moments when he's come to the microphone and really had conviction, the Kavanaugh hearing being one of them. And there's a few other instances where he's done that.
Well, that's how he fell back in love with the conservatives, fell in love with him, was at that moment, because that moment helped ice it, right? I mean, at the Herons.
Yes.
There. Yeah.
Yes.
But he wasn't well-liked before that in conservative circles. And he had been swimming with John McCain for a long time.
Well, if it had this discussion 2 years ago, I would say Lindsey Graham was probably as well-disliked as some of the Democrats we spoke about earlier, because he was very wishy-washy. He did go back and forth. He was not representing constituents. He wasn't supporting the party. He just kind of went with the wind. But you're right, though. The Kavanaugh hearing changed him. I don't know if it finally woke him up or got his blood boiling or whatever it was, but he kind of came out of his shell and has really been a pistol since then. But I would have said the same thing about Mitch McConnell. I'd have said the same thing a year and a half, 2 years about him. Yeah. I would have thought he was probably one of the most worthless Republicans in Congress. But as you grow, you learn, you see things a little differently. 185 judges.
Well, you just bring up a great point, buddy. Let's talk about that a moment here, because I was never a McConnell fan either. In fact, Brian, I would have put Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan in that picture of the movie where the car goes over the cliff. What is that, Tweetsie and Louise or something they call that? Whatever that movie is there, yeah.
Thelma and Louise.
Oh, Thelma. It wasn't Tweetsie and Louise. It's Thelma and Louise. Right. And so, and I thought he was Tweetsie. But anyways, I think that, you know, McConnell, though, one of the things about the Republican Party that is unsettling is that you talk about milquetoast, that seems to be their main ingredient they enjoy. And there's a lack of conservatives within the party itself. That's been a lot of the shift in the movement within the party. And I think that McConnell, for a long time, was considered one of those, you know, non-conservatives. But you know, Brian, when you look at the success right now, when you talk about the spine of the country, in fact, it's one of the reasons they're trying to get Trump out of there right now. Because, did you see also that Ginsburg is sick again? She's back in the hospital. She's really ill. And her days are clearly numbered, you know?
God bless her little soul.
Yeah, well, they're clearly numbered, and there's going to be another choice. Now, obviously, if that happens between now and the election, Ava, you know they're not going to be able to nominate a new Supreme Court before the election. That's going to right? I mean, you agree with that. It's going to have to happen after. There's no way you could do it before the election, right or wrong?
I don't know.
Brian, no, answer. What do you think? Brian, you think they would do it before the election?
Look, after the shenanigans that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer pulled on this last round, where Nancy came in on a Sunday and said, no deal until I get $35 million for the Met or whatever it was. I think after some shenanigans like that, I think McConnell was just mad enough to go, you know what? I'm still the head of the Senate. We're voting. I'm not going to give you a choice. There are procedures where they can drag their feet, and there's procedures where they cannot. And I think if you really put Mitch McConnell in a corner, the Democrats have backstabbed him on so many deals right now that Mitch McConnell was just mad enough and just close enough to retirement to go, you know what? We're going to vote on a new Supreme Court justice before November 7th.
Well, I got to tell you what, if that was to happen, I would predict to both of you, we would probably be at the moment in the verge of a civil war. I think that's where it would happen.
We're not fighting policy anymore, okay? These are people on the left that hate America. You have to understand, they want to remake America into something it was never intended to be. That's what we're up against.
No, you're right. It's the core and the soul of America that's in jeopardy here. Ava, it's the one point I talk about every day, don't I, on the program? I mean, that's the soul of America,
always.
Right? All right. That's what's
yes.
near and dear to us as patriots, is we value the gift that is here. I can't, it's hard to describe.
But
to
if you get inside of a leftist head,
yeah.
okay, which
they
I've
see a
done
different
way
America.
Too much. I've done this way too much. You read the 1619 Project, okay, about
yeah.
how America was founded. This is from the New York Times and et cetera, et cetera, okay?
Exactly, yeah.
These are people who are trying to reshape the founding of America. They want to break America apart and then remake it in a Soviet fashion. I'm telling you, that's what they're doing.
Well, it's obviously, and it's not in the closet anymore. I mean, I think it's out there in broad daylight for everybody to see. Listen, if there was a choice right now, if something happens, I want to go back to that point with Ginsburg, and there is a choice to put another Supreme Court justice on the bench there. I will tell you, and the question is, would it be done before the election or after? And the point, Brian, of what happened with Neil Gorsuch, if that was to happen now, it would be an all-out battle. You've never seen a battle like this one.
Well, you're correct, but we've already done so many things to kind of move us that direction, like the blue slip. It's not a law, it's a practice of doing the judges as well. We no longer require the blue slips because, quite frankly, the Democrats just wouldn't approve anything. So we finally said, okay, we're not doing that anymore, which caused us to approve judges faster. So we're already moving that direction because the Democrats have reneged on so many deals. They've renegotiated to the last minute and to the detriment of everyone. And I think Mitch McConnell and some of the leadership are finally said, you know, we don't like to play dirty, but we will, especially when it comes to a Supreme Court justice. And they're, you know, especially after Chuck Schumer sent a letter to the Supreme Court threatening them to get themselves together or they'd be realigned, which I can't believe nobody freaked out about. But, I mean, you had the head of the Senate minority threatening the members of the Supreme Court. You know, so I was like, wow, we've already gone pretty far down that road, I think.
What do you think when I say the name? Other people chose, by the way, Peter Strzok as the biggest dickhead on that side of the aisle. Peter Strzok, they said that he wins all here. He's the biggest of all. Other people said James Comey. I mean, there's a pretty big selection here, Ava. I mean, it's a wide selection of choices here. And still somebody else said, does he still own a home there? He still owns that house in Washington just down the road, right, Ava? I believe he still
right.
owns it. I don't think he sold it.
It's called Organizing for Action.
Yeah. Yeah, with Valerie Jarrett. Valerie Jarrett
exactly.
there. Yeah. So does Obama still own a home there? They say, if so, he's your man. So they picked Obama more than Schiff as the biggest dickhead. And others even said Michelle Obama was the biggest dickhead. What do you say to all that, Ava? Out of those choices, James Comey, Peter Strzok, and Nadler was mentioned a lot too, by the way, and then Michelle Obama. What do you think about those?
I think probably the Obamas would tie, in my mind, for the most despicable dickheads that we've ever had in this country. And the left loves them. They bow to that altar. And you have to understand why. It's because Barack Hussein Obama, imagine doing that with school children. He's the guy that set this all up. So if you don't like the squad, and if you don't like Nancy Pelosi and her new radical ways, and if you don't like Adam Schiff and Maxine Walters, well, Barack Obama brought you that. So there you go.
Well, that's why I think a lot of people say what they say about him. But by far, out of all those names, Brian, that we just threw out there, the one common denominator that I've seen through all these, I got so many here, too many to get into here. But the one common denominator, like constantly mentioned, is Adam Schiff. Pencil neck, they call him, pencil neck. So is he the one in your mind where we start? Is that where we end? Does he win? Does he want win as the biggest dickhead? Do you think?
I think he wins. I think he wins in my book without a doubt. I think the Obamas, as they enjoy the life of riches, I think you'll start seeing their influence start to dwindle because neither one of them have been extremely rich before in their life. They've been well off, you know, upper middle class. Nothing wrong with that. But with their, you know, advent of the Netflix board and all the other stuff, they're becoming filthy rich. And I think they're beginning to enjoy that more, and that takes up a lot of their time. Comey and that other goofball, they're just pimples. They're not actually anything of real organ out there. They're just an actual pimple, and they're going to get popped sooner or later. So, or like everything else, they'll just go away and everybody will forget about them. I don't think that those two guys are gonna last on the history books whatsoever.
Well, the way you put it there with pimples and all and popping, a lot of things come to mind, clearly. And you see what's going on with General Flynn and the FBI and all of that story lately, people, which has been a big, big story. But all of this is exposing a lot of corruption, which really, at the end of the day, tarnishes that shining city on a hill. It's kind of hard to put that in the same light when you're talking about the level of dickheads we have. But here's the deal. All of this conversation about dickheads really is a cancer. It's a cancer, back to Ava's point, within the corruption of and the soul of America. And there's a transformation that is trying to happen at this juncture of 243, almost 244 years old. And that shift in America, it really is a maturity level of a country is what's happened. Again, listen, people, I'm just telling you, I'm not, that's sometimes the bureau of truth, not always good news or bad news, but truth. And, you know, any great empire there, historically, nobody has come to the level of where America is at 243 years in. We're at a very critical point of the Union and of what this experiment was, where, it, you know, we talk all the time about the framers and what they put forth here. I mean, listen, none of it's perfect. I'm not saying it was the most perfect job, but as far as, you know, our Constitution and as far as what the framers put out there initially, when you look at the makeup of America and our three branches of government and our House of Representatives and our Senate and the Supreme Court Justice and the presidency, it is pretty remarkable. Now I know why, like when I was a young man, people would say, oh, this is the greatest, you know, government ever on the planet. And sometimes I never understood what that really meant as a young boy, because you've seen the corruption around and the craziness, you know what I mean? And yet I always understood what that meant, because now I do. But then I kind of questioned it a little bit. But now we do kind of see the makeup of our country and all that it is truly heroic. And it was a masterful plan. We are designed to disagree. We are designed to argue and divide ourselves. We're supposed to do that. This whole thing, and I'm going to talk to you about this tomorrow, actually. A lot of people say, well, we're so divided. Well, no shit, Mitch. We're supposed to be divided. I mean, if we ever connect and all unite, as I say, it'll throw the earth off the axis and we'll all evaporate into the universe of nowhere, Nan. That's the problem with connecting. We don't want to be all on the same sheet of music. It's not possible. So I'm here to tell you today, really and truly, it's all good. This division is important, and I'm convinced of that. And it's about, you know, again, sometimes the lowest possible denominator. But it's also about cream rising to the top, people. And it's about those of us who really see the vision of that shining city on a hill and what is America. And we hold that in the highest. And we continue to fight for what that is, as we will continue to do here. So, purpose of today's show, we did a little bit of venting, but we certainly hope to put the dickheads on notice. We know who they are. We're aware of who they are. And we will continue to fight for America. I think much of the conservative movement is would agree with that position here. Hey, listen, big thank you here to Brian Gould, Ava Armstrong, and you out there for listening to all this. And thanks for being on the mission here. It's time, people, to get involved and get loud.